Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, the 11th November, 73. Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11th November, 73. Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11th November, 73. Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11th November, 73.
But it do her and the calf both the justice, I think, to take the calf away from her and put it in another pen. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it matters to her.
I don't really think so.
She's
You don't think the calf pulling her down?
We'll see. Huh?
You don't think the calf is pulling her down?
Pulling her down? Uh-huh. She don't give a handful of milk.
No.
You get your toe fixed yesterday.
Let me tell you, we worked on that thing. Sit down over there where you got some more room, Shirley.
Okay. I need a lot of room.
Berman?
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't know what
we're drinking
right
water.
Now, I'll tell you what he told me.
We just got to get back. We didn't even tell the kids we were leaving.
I tell you what he told me. This thing here has been burning too much kerosene. And you can see the smoke going out the chimney.
Yeah.
So something's wrong with it.
Probably wasn't just about one thing. It's dirty.
Yeah.
It starts that smoking.
Well, you know, he told me about starting it. He says, asked me how I started it. Well, anyhow, what he said was, open it wide for about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of kerosene coming in a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, turn it down as low as you can and light it.
Right.
And then leave it there 15 or 20 minutes while it's doing something or other. He had a name for that. And he said, then if you want a little more heat, just turn it up a little bit at a time. Would that matter?
Yeah. We had something like that there in Orlando. Every fall, I'd take the carburetor out and clean it. You'd almost have to. You really paid to because it saved on the kerosene. Because that carburetor, just like carburetor on a car, if it's not adjusting right, you're not going to get the full benefit out of it. It's not going to function right.
Yeah.
You had little jets and stuff in it, like in a carburetor on a car. And I don't know where that in there is located. The one I had was located on the back side.
Yeah, it's right back there.
And it was easy to get to. But you can flood them just like you do a car. I know several times I'd go in there and turn it on, you know, to let the kerosene run down in the pan down there. And I'd come back a minute or so later and it looked like it wasn't none in there. But what happened, it'd be all over the pan and you couldn't see it if it was real clean. You couldn't see it. You could see a little bit if it went down there, but you couldn't see it when it's completely covered, because it more or less you could just see right through the kerosene, and you could see the bottom of the pan look like it wasn't down nothing in it. Well, I fooled myself on that a few times. I'd wind up about that much kerosene in there. Then I throw a piece of paper and get it burning. Next thing you know, I had a red hot stove.
With
all that kerosene in there.
We went off one time.
I would burn the house down one time.
Yeah.
And he thought he was turning it off, and he turned it all the way up.
Yeah. That was before we got married.
Came back the whole side.
I was going to Orlando. I had the thing burning. Instead of turning it off, I turned it wide open. I thought I'd turn it off. I turned it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I came back to town. I was gone 2 or 3 hours. I came back to town, and I drove up in the yard, and the smoke coming all out from around the eave of the house and through the vent. And I knew right then what I'd done.
Uh-oh.
I knew then that I turned that thing wide open instead of turning it off.
Yeah.
When I opened that door, the house was full of smoke. And that wall was burning. And that wall in the house, my dad had laid out the house, and he built it out of solid 4-inch oak planking. And I plastered on that. It was plastered inside. And that solid oak planking was about this thick. Solid oak, 4 inches thick. It was 4 eighths of what the house was paneled with, up and down, side by side, all the way around. And then we shingled it on the outside and plastered it on the inside. And it had charred. It couldn't blaze up because of the asbestos siding on the outside, plaster on the inside. But that oak had charted. I spot, oh, I guess that far, all the way around the flue of that chimney. And I got the axe and crowbar, and I started tearing off the plaster. I knew it wasn't blazing enough. It was just charting. That thing had got so hot. That wood had just turned red in there, just like charcoal. And I just took the hose in there, and oh, I just started taking the axe and crowbar and started pulling that old red charcoal out of there. And when I got through, I had a hole about that big around in that wall, all the way around that flue.
And it
didn't go up like this. It went straight through the wall. And then went up. And I had to go, after I got the mess made, then I had to go back and clean it all up, water all over the house. And I went back and I got some concrete, and I made me up a real heavy bunch of concrete and plaster wire, and I just plastered all the way around that flue. So the closest wood to that thing was about that far, so I didn't have to worry about it charting out anymore.
Yeah.
And I replastered that spot there, and you never know if anything would happen. But that's just how close I come to burning the house down.
Oh, that's pretty close.
But if it'd been pine wood, old fat pine, where it could have blazed up,
yeah.
I wouldn't have had no house when I got
like
back.
This.
I wouldn't have had none.
But that scares me about these meters.
That I was just fortunate. It was.
Well, you can do that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do that. I know this stove by heart, but I can.
But that's the problem. That's the trouble when you get in a hurry.
That's right, buddy.
When you get in a hurry, You'll do the wrong thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. As many times as I turned that thing off, I'd had the stove in about 4 or 5 years. As many times I turned that thing on and off every day, you'd think that I would have known, but I just turned it the wrong way. Not thinking. I turned that knob wide open.
How'd you get rid of the odor, that old burnt odor?
Well, after I got through plastering, it was gone. I had to repaint the whole front room and everything.
I burned a hole in my office floor up there, the coffee pot. It didn't get off. It just kept on. It didn't get off into warm.
Well, Sharon did the same thing to that hutch, you remember?
I know it.
The
yeah.
electric coffee pot. You
Brand
had
new
that.
Hutch. I just got it.
About a $700 hutch.
Yeah.
And she didn't have that thing, I don't think, a week or two. Remember, we got
yeah.
that thing?
And we had company. I had served coffee and I set the pot over on
she
the.
She set that coffee pot on that hutch. And forgot to unplug it, and that coffee boiled out of there, perked out, and that thing sat there, and it just got real hot.
Left it over there overnight.
And next thing you know, that hutch where the wood went together, it had cracked wide open.
Now you can't tell.
You can't tell what the wood is going back together. It seems like it's drawn in enough
really?
Moisture that it closed back
well,
up again.
You can't even tell it now. The finish and everything is just.
But
beautiful.
That thing sit there all night long.
All night long, it's just warped. You know the boards, and then there was that bunch
oh,
of cracks.
You
know,
just lucky
in getting
good boards. That's all there is to it. Well,
yeah.
Now this was hardwood floor up there on that old building over there where the off-campus housing used to be. And it's got a hole in the floor. Still got a hole right there. I know I haven't reported it. I reported it, but I didn't get anybody over there to fix it.
Mm.
Well, you know, you heard about that fire they had over there in my area over here last week, didn't you remember? Over in the Murphy area, they burnt that whole apartment up in that room.
Oh.
You had a picture of it there in the Gator. They burnt that room over there in the Fletcher Hall.
Yeah.
It happened, I think it was a little after 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
These two boys that had this room, when I got there, they already got the fire out, but it did $6,500 worth of damage to that room.
Yeah, don't take long, does it?
And over $4,000 worth of personal property was burned up. Now, I mean, it charted that room, burnt all the baseboards out of the room, burnt the window frames up, cracked all the window glasses out of it, and smoked that thing up black.
Why did the fire department put it down?
Yeah, they had three fire engines out there.
But it stayed in one little.
Stayed in that section there, and but the fire was already going through the wall over into the next room when they got there. It had burnt two rooms.
It was the wrong time of day.
Something other. It sounds awful fishy because I'd talked to some of those students around there, and they said they had a party going up there on the fourth floor.
Oh.
They said they had a party going up there up to almost daylight. And then one of these boys was sleeping there. The other boy had left about 15 minutes before the fire, and it had already gone. And it started in the boy's bed over there, the one that was gone, it started in his bed. It burnt the mattress and everything up in his bed, burnt the bed completely up. His wooden bed, there wasn't nothing but charcoal left of it. Burnt all the baseboards like this, it burnt every bit of it out. And if it hadn't been for that concrete floor now, I imagine it burnt the room down below. But see, they have concrete floors about that thick.
I guess you had a closer call than you did with that fire, with that grapevine that knocked you out. See, he was in his bulldozer.
It didn't at the time. When it happened, I was so weak in the knees, I didn't think I was going to make it over to the bulldozer where he was at.
What in the world happened to you?
Tell her that.
I was
huh?
pushing those oak trees out. We got about 2 acres right there behind the house that I'm fencing in for the bull. But I got it up almost finished now. I'm hoping tomorrow I can finish up putting the fence up. But I had one row of oak trees there. A bunch of oaks in there next to that fence over there. And that old fence there, I took the old fence out. And I cleaning out all them old oak trees and stuff. And I was just leaving the good ones in there. And it had a lot of grapevines growing up in them. And grapevines is the worst thing at all trying to work around with a tractor. So you don't know which way one of them things is going to start pulling.
Yeah.
You'll start watching one grapevine. Next thing you know, here's another one. Got you. You're pushing maybe 6 or 8 grapevines at one time, and you don't know which way those things are going to pull.
Uh-huh.
But there was one there. It was just about almost as big around as that water jug, and that thing snapped off. I had the blade down on the ground, and I sheared those grapevines, just shearing them right off when I hit them. And I was pushing an oak tree out too, and I popped that thing off, and that thing swung way back around, hit me right upside the head, right up here, hit me right on the head. It cut a gash in my head about that long. It knocked me senseless there, and I had a mouthful of peppermint hard candy. Johnny had just gave it to me. He crawled up there on the tractor and asked me if I wanted some hard candy. He gave me a couple pieces of that old hard candy, and I had it between my teeth. And when that grapevine hit me, it must have caused me to bite all that candy in two. I just crunched that stuff up to a bunch of little old pieces, and all of a sudden when I gained my consciousness again, I had all that candy in my mouth, and it felt just like my teeth. I just knew it was my teeth. I just knew I'd busted out all my teeth, but yet it didn't hurt. That's what got me, because I don't have no false teeth. I just figured, I'm good grief, my teeth. And I took my tongue around in my mouth, feeling for my teeth, and I spit it out at the same time. And then after I spit it out, I realized I spit out my candy.
That hurt worse than losing the teeth.
I spit all that candy out on the floorboard of that tractor there, and I all that peppermint candy.
You see, one of the things he's got to do over that tray, he's got to clear the side over there next to the container people.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hunters come along there.
Oh, boy, the hunters out there.
That's what's taking us so long. If it hadn't been for that, we could have had the fence up in no time. But the hunters get over there, and they just as soon shoot that bull as not. And drag him through the fence.
We
got to clear it around.
But I'm on next
so
year.
See.
I told Gerald, I said, they better enjoy going through those oak trees out there this year. You know that 40 acres over there?
Yeah.
I said, because they're not going through there next year because there's going to be a fence around it.
I got
quite a bit of that cleared up now. I'm gonna clear it all up and leave just the oak trees right in the middle where the cows can go up to toward the middle, toward the house to lay down on the trees in the daytime.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna have no trees within about 200 or 300 feet of that fence, because that makes it too tempting for the hunters.
Oh, man.
Because the cows goes out and lays against the fence, and then over in Illinois they've got their road going right up against the fence. That's just too tempting for them to shoot them a cow and drag it and put it in the car.
Sure, yeah.
Cave, anyhow.
I thought, well, he could just go out there and put up a temporary fence going on along through there, but he wanted to do it right, so I can't blame him. And
that fence, it's cost me $500 just for the material in it. No, I've got more than that. I've got about $600 in it.
Yeah, you sure have.
I've got around $600 in post and wire just to go around that 2 acres. Hog wire, bob wire has gone up $2 since last week. It went up about $2 or $3 from the week before that. It's the cheapest barbed wire I can find now is about $17.90 something a roll, and that's a Farmer's Mutual. Browning went around $22 a roll for it. Hog wire is last I got over there. That's what I'm using, hog wire and barbed wire. You use 3 strands of barbed wire and 39-inch hog wire. And that hog wire cost me, when I got it, I got 6 rolls of hog wire. It was $33 and something a roll. Brownlee gets $47 a row for hog wire. It's going to take at least six rows of water to go around that piece of ground. And all them fence posts. The fence posts are $1.15 a piece.
You said you could get them. Where was it you told me you could get them cheaper?
Palmer's.
That's the guy.
They keep going up. Fertilizer is going up $10 a ton since last Monday.
Yeah.
Spread. Farmers Mutual, they went $71 a ton spread. Week before last, you could get $61 a ton. Just keep going up, and it's supposed to go up again here another week or two.
And you know it's cheaper for them to spread it than it is for him to spread it?
Oh, yeah, because you got to pay for that bag.
That sounds ridiculous.
Well, see, I got a spreader like something like yours out there. You know, works on the hitch, on a three-point hitch. But that's good if you got a ton or two to spread, because they charge you a minimum.
Yeah.
If you don't have but a ton or 5 tons, this is going to be the same thing. It's going to be so much for that
trip.
That's
ridiculous.
So if you got a ton to spread, it's better, you know, if you got something like your own spreader, you got 1 or 2 tons to spread, you save money on it.
Yeah. What do they normally haul? 5 tons?
5 or 6 tons. 25, 6. Some of them haul as much as about 6.5 tons.
Do they?
Yeah. All depends on what size hopper they got.
You see, I never would have any use for 5 tons.
Well, see, I got that 20 acres of rye down there now, and here we haven't had a decent rain here in a month now.
No.
I got to cut up all that ground down there, cut up about 20 acres. I sowed 1,200 pounds of ryegrass seed.
Oh,
no. 5 tons of fertilizer.
We've had just ordinary dews. We haven't.
No, we get all our rain in one time, and then when we get
rain at hay season time when I want to build hay. That's when I get my rain. When I want rain, I don't get it. When I plant something, it stays dry. When I want to build hay, it rains.
Lemon, I got this from Mr. Patterson over here, Mr. Phil Patterson. He died a couple of years ago, and he always surprised me. I'd go over there and he'd be putting in his oats. He'd rather have oats than anything else. Hell, he'd put them in last September. And he never would tell you the truth, you see. He never acted like he was a farmer or knows anything about farming. That's one thing he never did. He says, oh, Mabel, she's a farmer. But he was a pretty good farmer. And I don't know why he put them in that early, but he always had good ones. And all I can figure is, if you got in the rain the summer at all, you see, the end of September, 1st of November, 1st of October, you still got some moisture in the ground,
mm-hmm.
enough to bring them up, and you still got enough warm weather to get them started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you say they do better in cold weather. They start off pretty well in warm weather. At least
Well, you know, last year you plant my ryegrass around November. Last year I didn't plant it in December. But see, that gave me it's only good for about 3 months at the most. You're
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But see, the seemed like the worst time the cow has is in February and March. It seemed like that's the worst 2 months.
Yeah.
And last year when I turned the cows in. It was in February. I fed them hay and everything up in February, and I turned them in on the ryegrass in February. So I gave them February, March, and they went on through it in April. They grazed in on it up through April.
But this year you'll have January, February,
but
March.
But I planted a month sooner than I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I put some in early and right out there. I had about 5 acres right out there. Well, I didn't have that much. And I started them in, I can't tell you just when it was, it's early though, at least in December. And I spread that out, see, I spread it out.
Mm.
I figure they can't fill up on it much, but it'll, you know, keep them going.
Well,
and
you're...
It lasted on up the middle of April last year.
Well, that's the way mine did last year.
A lot of trouble, you see. I just let them in there 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And then I didn't let them stay long.
Well, that's the way we did. Well, I'd turn them in every week, every day.
And furthermore, sometimes they wouldn't eat it where it was heavy, you see, and I could feel somebody go out there with me, and we would hold them over there where it was heavy and make them eat it. Now, you hadn't seen anybody do that yet.
Mm-hmm. And we made them eat it, and it lasted all that long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We made
the trouble is, you know, some people turn them out and let them stay there too long, they tromp it down. That can be harder on the grass than the cow picking it, or tromping that ryegrass down, or any of that winter pasture down there. Because, you know, a lot of these big ranchers that has large acreage, a lot of them, I know there in Orlando, big dairy up there, he fed a lot of ryegrass. He went out there and he cut it, and he fed it to them in troughs. He didn't let them even get on it.
Yeah.
He went out there, he had a regular cutter and a blower and everything. He just blew it in a wagon. He had one of these feeder wagons with a conveyor belt, and he'd drive along his troughs there, and he'd just run it right out into the troughs, and they just fed it to him in the green.
And that is no trouble. And no work to that.
Well, it only took him about 30 minutes to do that. He'd go out there and cut it all and have it in the trough for 30 minutes.
And it's easy to do that, and let the cows out there.
And at the same time, what he's doing, he'll catch two or three swaths, and tomorrow he'd come back and start where he left off. By the time he gets to the end of the field, it's up again out there, and he starts cutting again.
Then you don't waste any of it.
He doesn't waste any of it.
And that even fertilized behind it.
See, now he only had about 40 acres like that, and he was feeding several hundred head of cattle on that 140 acre field.
Yeah. Now that's
a dairy.
Now he had to have that green to bring up his butterfat.
Yeah, he had to have the green to bring up the butterfat and the milk. He had to do everything he could to bring the butterfat up. Because that's what you get paid for is on the butterfat.
Now,
if the butterfat dropped
stressing.
Down to less than a certain percent, the price of his milk would drop down.
Yeah.
But he fed them every time, as soon as the cows would come out of the barn, they could go over there and eat ryegrass out of the troughs. And too, that way they wasn't tromping on it and laying down in it and everything else. And,
then he gave them hay.
And then he gave them hay too.
I'm telling you, if you want to know who owns the place, you just look around these darn cows, you see.
Well, they tell guy when they want to go down there to that potato patch. They tell him when they want out. They tell him when they want to go over here, when they want to go out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can tell by looking at them, you see whether they're restless or not.
Yeah.
Well, they're just standing out there, contented out there when we grow up.
That's all they've had.
I think they moseyed out in there now.
They've had that.
I told them we put them out there in the potato patch the other day, and they just sniffed at them. They were too full. They didn't care about
it.
Well, I got plenty of hay this year. Why, I'm saving enough hay. You got
well,
I don't say
you know, you've been selling it off early.
I've been selling too much hay. I'm not selling none this year. I sold 40 bales, and told you I'm not going to sell no more.
Well, you know what you got to do. What a fella can do, he keep all of it, and then if he got some left over, there's always the big demand for it at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always figure a fourth of a bale of hay to a cow a day. And I figure take one bale to feed four cows a day.
Yeah.
In other words, if you got 40 cows, it's going to take 10 bales of hay a day.
Yeah.
That's the way I figure.
And you put it there in that long place.
Yeah, and feed it, and that way they don't waste it. Or I throw it on the ground, they waste a lot of it.
Yeah. What can you do to put under that trough there where they stand to keep them out of the mud?
Cement.
That's what I'm gonna have to do.
That's what we've been talking
about. I got one
lime
barn.
Lime rock won't do it.
Huh?
Lime rock won't do
no,
it.
No, you know how lime rock is on the highway. You start getting water in, next thing the water on, next every time you hit the car, hit it, splashes some out. It'll be the same thing in there. But what I could do is probably put some lime rock in there and go back and put about an inch or two of concrete on top of it to keep from washing out. It makes a good base.
You see, if you could do that before you get it trumped out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you wouldn't have so much filling up to do.
Well, I don't have the problem right there at the house at that barn there.
No, it's
out there. The other barn way down there, way out in the field.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the way over here.
And I told her that I said I need to pour about 5 yards of concrete on each side of that barn. I could eliminate that.
Yeah.
And it gets so muddy in there at the time.
Yeah.
And you know, after it seemed like where you got cow manure and hay and stuff in there,
yeah,
it seemed like it never wants to dry up. It'll dry up everywhere except underneath that barn.
Yeah.
And they can get trouble with their feet.
Yeah. That's what I was telling him. I said they've
I'm
going
to have to put some concrete in there to eliminate that. And just, you know, don't smooth it down. Just leave it real rough.
Yeah.
soon as he gets those fence finished, he wants to do that.
Because you can get it smooth, you know, a cow slipped down on it from concrete. Get
yeah.
It was that real smooth finish. All I do is just give it a board finish, a broom, something what you call a broom finish. Just take your board and just strike it off, and just leave it level, but don't leave it smooth, glass slick.
Yeah.
So the cow can slip down.
Of course, concrete won't give in water.
Yeah.
It gets put it in water, gets hard.
Yeah, and water does it good.
Well,
water prolongs.
One thing, water does good. I remember I was fixing some out here one time, and I borrowed this little thing to mix it in, see. And it's time for we had to come in to eat, and I said I knew better. I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. I'll just pour a little water in this to keep it soft.
Oh no! Oh no!
You know they built the Golden Gate Bridge. You know it was poured in water. concrete. Water don't keep it soft because just the time element there. You know, and it hardens.
Yeah.
After so long, it hardens.
Yeah.
Don't matter where that much water is in it. Because all these bridges, you know, they pour that concrete right down in the water. Right in the water. They have the form down the water, and they pour it right down the water, and the concrete goes to the bottom, and it'll set.
Yeah.
It'll set hard. Being mortar there,
yeah.
It'll set harder than it would be if it's out in the open.
Isn't that something?
I don't
pretend to understand any of those things, but it's something. It does.
And it takes water to mix it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But concrete, I think one of the best things the builders really got.
Yeah.
Without concrete, you couldn't build them.
Yeah.
You couldn't. They couldn't build these two or three story building to save a neck. It'd have to be out of wood. They couldn't use nothing for foundation.
Are you buying all your feed from Bromley now?
I'm buying feed from them, and I buy some of my stuff from Farmers Mutual. I buy where I can try to save something.
Well,
you still get good fresh feed.
Do you haul it yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you see, that trip out to Farmers Mutual will cost you something, and your time.
Well, see, I'm in town anyhow every day.
Yeah, but you're out there, and that's 5 miles.
Well, if I can say, like on that Juarez, I buy all my feed from Brownlee because he's closer.
Yeah.
But on Juarez and stuff, where I say $15 a roll, it sure pays me to go over and get it. I've got 5-6 rows of barbed wire. Heck, that's $65 or $70 I save on barbed wire.
Yeah.
I mean, on hog wire.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the wire. He wanted $47 a row for that hog wire, and I got a little over $32, almost $39, $33 or something with tax on it.
And you figure this is the last fencing you're going to do?
No, it's not. I got those oaks fenced in. I got to get me about 20 more rows of hog wire, and about 400 or 500 more posts.
Tell you, waited a year too late.
He's doing everything this year.
Well, doggone, I can't help it. I got to do it when I can. I got to get it done. And no use me going out there planting grass out there if I don't put a fence around
it. He's always doing something.
I can't go out there and plant grass out there for Billy Hughes' cow.
Well,
it makes me sick. Well, see, I tore that fence down and put this other fence around there, and just as soon as the sun goes down, about 35, 40 cows out there in that little piece of ground.
Where I
want to
put the bull.
Where I want to put the bull.
Well,
I can't do nothing about it. I don't have no fence around it now.
Yeah.
I look out there in the moonlight. You know how moonlight is right now? You can look out there and see the cows out there on that piece of ground. But you know, you run going out and run them off, they'll be right back.
Be right
he's
back.
Got a jagged
so,
fence coming this way, going that way, up this way, back this way, and across here. But he's got this open here yet. See?
Yeah.
I told you.
He's working on his passing as hard as he can go. And yet they can get in there and eat that grass, and it just burns me up.
Well, they better enjoy it, because this is going to be the last night they're going to spend on it.
Yeah.
Well, Vernon, what you going to do about all that time you put in? You see, you after all, you working up there, full-time job.
Yeah, well.
And then you come out here and got another full-time job.
Well, ain't nothing I can do about it except work. Work some more.
Well, I told you one thing to do, and you won't do it.
What?
See? I never saw anybody who was less open to suggestion.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Well, these custom people, they can put in rye so much easier than you can. See, they go over it one time, that's all there is to it. Then all you gotta do is go over to the fertilizer and
it don't take me no time to, that's the simplest job, putting that rye out. I use my fertilizer for that big hopper.
Yeah.
Like that rye grass, 20 acres, I can put it out in about an hour and a half.
And Johnny got the ground ready this year, didn't he?
Johnny plowed all that ground up for me.
But they don't have to put it out, it's already out, you see. When they go over plowing, it's already out.
Yeah, that don't think where I take so much time is when I start working on trying to clear a piece of ground and fence it in. That's where I lose so much time. Like on those oaks that I'm doing my best to clear up those oaks, because I got to have it to fire grass. I got to put grass out there.
And you hire that gun and you sure pay for it.
I've farmed that ground several times. You know, when you farm a piece of ground, you kill your pasture. That place was in bahia grass. The whole place was in bahia grass and pangolin before we moved out there.
Yeah.
And when you put a turn plow on a piece of ground, you just destroy your bahia grass.
Yeah, you can't cultivate in the summer.
Now you go out there with a bush and bog, and you can really work bahia grass and do it good, because it shuffles it, brings it back to the top. But you get an old plow that stuff 8 inches under, and you kill it.
Yeah.
You kill the bahia grass, pangolin, anything else.
The only time you can plow bahia grass is in the off season.
Yeah.
If you start doing it in the summertime, you're spring.
But I got all those fences around there to work on, and seem like the posts don't last forever.
No.
The wire eventually rusting too.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing about it, Brum, it's better to have more work to do than it is not to have anything to do.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I get Johnny and no boys out there. I tell them, come and help me. They don't complain.
Good.
They don't gripe.
Yeah, but you don't sit down and watch them.
No.
You don't have to. They know what to do.
Johnny, he can get out there. He can build that fence as good as I can.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you.
No, I'm not going to sit down and watch. I'm going to get out there and work too.
You
I'm not that lazy.
You talk about being lazy. See, every time he sits down, he's lazy.
Yeah, that's not, you know, that's, maybe you ought to set a little bit, but
when he does this, he thinks of a guy named Freddie Dietrich, right?
Oh, that sorry guy.
Yeah, he tells his kids what to do, and he sends them out there, including his wife, and he sits back and watches.
Well, I never seen
this
guy. His wife,
he won't work
teach school. That guy wouldn't do nothing. He had about 600 or 700 acres, and he had one of these voices that when he talked, it would cut right through you.
Yeah.
And you could hear him for a mile talking. He had a normal voice. And a real keen voice, and it sounded like he talked through his nose half the time. And he had, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 or 8 kids or something like that. Most of them were boys. And he'd get out there to work. He'd get all the boys and get them in the truck or on the wagon or something like that. Let's go to work. And we'd get out there, he'd get them working, and he'd go off and sit under the tree and watch them. And I went down there one day. They was planting pangola, sprigging pangola. He's planting some, had a field out there. You were putting pangola. You got to sprig it, you know. You don't plant the seed. Well, I got out there on Saturday and went down there. Here he was sitting on a tree. His wife was out there with a bushel basket full of grass, planting grass. Every one of his kids had a bushel basket planting grass, and he was the tractor driver. He'd pull the tractor up, and he went over there to sit down in the tree and need it pulled up again. He didn't get out there and plant them up.
He came back and told me about that?
That guy wouldn't work. He was a good supervisor, though, but he wouldn't work.
Well, where was that?
Here in Orlando.
Where we used to live.
His name was Dietrich. Fred Dietrich. Well,
every once in a while, you know, you think about sending the kids off to do a job, and then you think about Fred Dietrich.
No, I'd rather do it myself than be showing someone how.
Is he still at it?
Oh, yeah, he's still. I see his ad in the bulletin every time it comes. You take the farmer bulletin?
Yeah.
He's got an ad in there every time he's Charlotte's cows and Santa Cruz and stuff.
Yeah.
You'll see his ad in there, Fred Dietrich, Orlando, Florida. You'll see an ad in there where he's trying to sell some cows.
Oh, really?
Not
he's
him,
got,
it's his kids.
Yeah,
in the ad.
No.
I don't think he has energy enough to write out the ad.
Yeah.
His wife was a school teacher. She's been teaching school now for 25, 30 years, I guess.
Well, Berman, you can't work through your meal time. You got to sit down and eat.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Yeah. When I catch
I'll do that.
He has a cup of coffee for breakfast and works through his lunch hour, or runs around town on his lunch hour, the feed store or something, and then at supper he comes in, changes his pants, and runs down and met with the cow, and the next thing, well, he might eat around 8 o'clock.
Burma died. You gotta do better than that.
What?
You can't work.
You can't work on an empty stomach.
You can't work on a cup of coffee all morning.
Well, I do a pretty good job at it, though.
Yeah.
You don't get hungry?
Catching up with you, too.
I get hungry at dinner time. What's Tommy doing?
He'll eat on the go, or eat a donut or a cup of coffee or something like that. Something that, you know, doesn't take time for a full, balanced meal.
Yeah.
What in the world is he eating?
Huh?
He's eating something. He's standing right there. He's daydreaming, looking up in that tree up there.
They must eat out there.
He had something while he's eating it. There he goes back to Cornquart about that boy.
Yeah.
There he goes back. And
I wish I had the recipe for that. I'd set out a whole bunch of those.
Okay, he's going back again. Isn't that Cornquart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's getting Cornquart. Okay.
That thing blooms 12 months a year.
Is that right?
Oh, it's a blooming.
We had a Cornquart tree where I was raised. It was on the place and I moved there. Yeah, pretty good size.
It
had about 2 bushels of kumquats on it every year. And my mother, she'd make that marmalade out of it. Boy, you know, kumquats make good marmalade.
Yeah.
They'd make the best marmalade. Oranges are nothing compared to marmalade.
That's
to kumquats. So that kumquat marmalade is really good. And I used to get up underneath that tree and just eat them old sour things. I used to love them. The peeling's sweet on them, you know.
Yeah.
The kumquat itself is sour. Peeling was always sweet. I'd eat the peeling first, and then I'd eat the old sour kumquat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the kumquat, the peeling was real sweet.
Oh, is that right?
Kumquat.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't
eat one.
Yeah, the kumquat's sweet. I mean, the peeling is sweet, and you get down to the kumquat, and it's sour.
That's
just sour as a lemon.
I can't quite take that. I need the peeling.
I'd sit there, and I'd just pop them things in my mouth one after another and eat them, like raisins.
Now, you see what shape those cows in now. They walk along there and shake. It's waddling.
Yeah, I told him, look at that. She can't even walk. She's waddling. She has to waddle this way to get her, pick up her leg to put down the other one.
Now, let me tell you. Suppose you get them over there and they start getting bony.
Well, I hope I have enough hay to prevent that.
Well, now, hay won't do it.
Well, if you got good high protein hay, it will.
Well,
they're
picking around that swamp, I'm hoping it'll hold them, but it might not.
There in Orlando, I had a swamp out there in my place. I had about 20 cows out there. And I had a little swamp out there. I don't guess there were 5 or 6 acres in it. And one winter, I didn't feed them cows nothing. They had these green lily pads that kept coming up, these tall lilies that come up.
Yeah.
And they'd grow real rapidly, 2 or 3 inches a day.
Yeah.
And them cows stayed out there in that old dry swamp, eating those lilies, and you know, I don't think they lost a single pound all winter.
Yeah.
They just stayed in that swamp eating those lilies.
Well,
they didn't even
want
to come out.
They'll do it, but you got to get woods cows.
Well, these weren't woods cows.
These
cows
are ours
down
there in that little swamp right now. They've been down there.
I never have had no woods cows. These were Herefords and Derry cows. They go out there in that little swamp out there and eat them old lilies.
Well, now these will eat those things like that, but I just think of it as salad. It don't keep them going. It just makes them feel proud. This old bahia grass is a stab of life for them.
Yeah, and I've got to get about 40 acres planted. I've got to buy a bunch of seed and sow some this spring. That's why I'm trying to get that fence up and everything so when spring comes, I'll have it ready.
You know, you hear all sorts of things, and you got to have a little experience yourself, but I thought I knew about anybody could just grow a pasture, and I found out hell fine. You got to have as much experience growing pasture as you do growing beans.
Mm.
And
really?
I've already seen, you see, and what they tell you about this early fertilizing. Have it in the ground way before it's time for it to come up helps. But my view of it is, I've never had any arrangement where I could fertilize heavy. 300 pounds around that is the most I can manage.
Hmm.
And 300 pounds will do a whole lot of work.
Yeah, well, that's for bahia grass.
Yeah.
But when you start working with Pangolin Coastal, you've got to have at least 500 on that.
Well, I'm
that
talking about now the Bahia, some sort of Bahia, and just keeping it going.
Yeah.
And if you
for the simple reason, you know, the roots grow constantly year round, but the tops don't grow. The top will stay dormant. You know, there's grass out here now. It's not going to grow anymore.
No.
You'll watch it. It won't grow a bit. Like
no,
it about Bahia in our yard up there.
No,
it hasn't grown a bit.
Once
they stay dormant.
That off, it'll stay that way.
It'll stay that way. But the roots still grow.
Do they?
Yeah, the roots are still growing. But the tops are not growing.
Well.
That's why they do that. See, now, when they fertilize it like that in early spring, that gets the roots active.
Yeah.
So whenever you do get some warm days, it'll shoot right out.
Shoot out.
It gives it a head start.
Yeah. Well, it'll go and it'll grow. Now you see, if this was fertilized, I don't know whether it would grow this late or not. But it'll grow almost.
No, I don't think it would.
What'll it do? Grow up into October?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the hay grass has been doing any growing at all for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
No.
It's actually,
the kids mow the grass and it
because
hasn't
I haven't mowed my yard. See, that's all I got in my yard around the house. That's all Bahia grass.
Yeah, but you don't
and I haven't mowed my yard in 2 or 3 weeks.
But you don't fertilize that.
No. I quit that.
We mowed our head off.
Fertilized that 1 year and mowed my head off.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep up with it.
Well, you couldn't hardly expect it to grow much without a little fertilizer. But I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyhow, it'll grow. It'll grow so long. It's just shameful how long.
Well,
it'll grow.
You know, the Bahia grass, it'll stay green. It'll grow.
It's the first out.
It has
spring.
About 2 months more growing than Pangolin does out of the year. At least 2 months.
Yeah.
The same with Coastal. Pangolin and Coastal, they've already turned brown. But it takes a frost to turn Bahia brown. Honey, I hate to run, but it's going to be dark, and I'm going to be taking care of some cows out there. And
what do you got to do with cows tonight?
I
got
to milk some yet and feed some calves.
Oh, that's right. You got
how much milk can you do?
The peppers
I just got one old cow I milk.
Just enough for you.
Just enough for you.
You got about 25 heads left here. Okay.
We got more than that down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got about 30 down there.
Well, counting my little calves.
Yeah.
25 brood calves. Uh-huh.
Do
the
you,
best ones.
Do you
they
use,
look about like these out here. They're in really good shape.
Do
they stay
use,
down that chair all the time.
Butter or oleo?
I use oleo.
Yeah.
I don't bother with butter.
Too much trouble?
No, it's not that. It's too
we don't need
too
it.
Fattening. I love
from?
Butter. I love homemade butter. In fact, we made it a few
that's
months,
where we started
few
getting
times. In fact,
too.
When I was a kid, that's all I ever got was homemade butter. But
I thought you ate breakfast. Now I was over there one morning.
I will if I'm going to do a hard day's work. I'll eat breakfast.
Well, now this day.
But when I go to the university, I don't bother eating no breakfast.
Like this morning, he ate pancakes.
All my working over there. All my work over there is walking.
I was over there one morning and I ate with you, and I know we ate well.
But when I'm
home,
that
must have been a long time ago.
Like tomorrow, I'll be home. I'll be home all day tomorrow. And I'll eat breakfast in the morning. For the simple reason, I'm going to get out there and work.
Now, he had bacon
if I'm
going to
get out there and labor, I'll eat breakfast.
Morning,
but if I'm not, if I'm just going to that
university
and sit there behind a desk or tell someone what to do, I'm not going to eat a great big old meal. Because I don't see where I want to eat it.
Well, it'll get you through the day.
Well, I'll eat dinner.
If you have time.
Yeah, I'll eat dinner. I get it.
But then what you do, you get busy and you put that off and you wait so long, you'll get irritable.
Amen.
I don't
irritable. Listen, who's talking? Being irritable.
I don't get irritable because I eat. I tell you what, I don't miss a meal.
But if I'm hungry, I'll eat. But
well, you're not supposed to wait to get hungry. You're supposed to just eat when it's time to eat.
I eat when
you
well,
don't
I'll tell you
how
that
much energy you burn up, Brenna.
Yeah. I know. I tried
that morning. I was over there. We had hot cakes and some good syrup on them, you see. And we had Shirley had a whole pan of eggs out there. She didn't know you could take an egg or two. She didn't know how many you took. And that'll do you. That'll hold you.
How long ago has that been? It must have been a year
it's
or two ago.
It's been too long.
Yes, it has.
Well,
every time I get him over there now, he says, you're just as bad as Berman. You're in a big hurry. You don't have time to eat with me.
Well, I don't know. I
cup of coffee here now and then.
Like if that. I've just had over here, it's not that I eat so much over here, but it ruins my appetite.
I see.
Is that clock right?
It better not be.
What did it say?
It says 5:25.
Oh, goodness,
right.
Honey. We didn't even
it'd
tell the kids.
It'd be dark at 6 o'clock.
We didn't eat, we just
told him, I told Johnny I'd be gone.
Oh, you did?
Told him we're going over here to look at the cows.
Oh, all right. Well, at least we know where we're at.
Well, now we're over this cold spell.
Well, we got another one, though.
Oh, really?
There'll be another one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's it. Will be
this
another
winter is just now just getting started.
There's been a dozen of them Arctic things. You can see them on the weather map.
Yeah.
You ought to see the hunters over there in the back of our place.
Well, there's 5 or 6 Jeeps at a time, about 5 or 6 guys in one. That's a wonder if someone don't shoot each other.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
around here?
What?
Yeah, we hear.
Oh, Lord, yes.
It's the one that don't shoot.
I told Lois and Eleanor here about 5 or 6 months ago. No, it hasn't been that long. I guess about 4 months ago. That I was going to fence up those oaks behind the house. You know, they got a road that goes right through those oaks. I haven't been saying nothing because people have been going back here and going fishing. And a lot of times the hunters get back around those oaks. I usually walk out there and check, tell them to go somewhere else or not. But usually they just pass right on through them. But I called them up and told them here about 4 months ago that I was going to fence them in and ask them about putting a road around it. Because they wouldn't be able to go through it. He said, all right. He said, we'll do that. He said, no. First time I get a bulldozer over here, he said, I'll send one out there and let him push a road up around it so they can and go around it. So he sends the colored guy out there on a bulldozer. And they're going to what a road he put up. He must have put it right on the line. And how in the world they think they're going to pull their old log trucks around that road, I don't know. They'd never get a log truck around that road.
You got a bulldozer.
And he put it down in a swamp down there, part of it. You couldn't get a Jeep through. Mm. You get a tractor stuck down in that mud hole he put right on down through that mud hole. And he left holes and stuff that deep in that road. You'd never get through there. I don't know how they plan on getting through there after I fence that thing in.
Oh.
Well, you just have to wait and see.
So I don't think Gary came out looking.
You know, a lot of things happen over there. If you just get used to it and see them, I'd say you wouldn't have to leave the place. You could just stay there and see what's going to happen next.
Johnny
well,
told me I'll put a toll bridge out there in those oaks. I mean, put a toll out there and charge them for going to the oaks.
Yeah, that's what we ought to do.
Yeah.
Boy, they're one right after the other. One
yes,
right
I
the
never
other.
Seen a lock of hunters out there yesterday. I went down to Stoke Creek
killed.
Yesterday. And I got some gas. Mr. Bishop said he's never seen so many hunters in his life come to the store. He said he's been had them up at his store all day long getting gas, getting cold drinks or something other.
Beer, going back there drinking beer, having
yesterday
beer parties.
It was your first day.
Yeah, it's for the hunting season. It'll wear off in a week or two, and it'll start slacking up.
I had old Mountain over here helping me with those stoves, and I didn't think he'd gonna get here. He'd been out hunting all morning, and then he got over here a while, and then he had to get leave in time to go back and hunt some more of them.
Oh,
before dark.
It's a fever.
Yeah, well,
it's a fever.
That's the way I like to hunt too. I like, but. Quit doing everything you got to do and go hunting. I'd rather wait until after some of these hunters get tired of it and goes home. I never shoot nothing. I just go out with the boys and maybe might shoot a stink bird or something other. That's about all. But that's all you see out in the woods anymore. And sometimes you don't even see that.
That's against the law to hit them stink birds.
Well, I shoot them. A little something like a little wren or something like that. That's about all you see.
What do you hit them for?
Because I want to.
I saw the most beautiful doe this morning, just on the other side of the river stick. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
They're chasing all
telling,
out of the room.
John was telling me, what was that Timmy? Telling about some guy shot a doe and fined him $500 shooting that doe.
Uh-huh.
And fined him $500 and then you got to replace it. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, you got to pay for the price of the new doe.
Where do you go around finding a new doe?
Well, they'll get it for you. What they do, they'll go over and trap them in another area somewhere and bring them over here.
And then
that's
you
how
pay
they
for
it. Yeah, and then you pay for them. That's how they replace it.
I was going to say something about Coleman. I forgot what I was going to say. So, no use, I've forgotten. I can't remember.
Okay, well, it's going to be dark in a minute.
Yeah,
we're going to
yeah.
hate to run, but we're going
well,
to have to
you all come
back.
Over and visit with us now.
I'm going to try to see if I can get someone in the truck somewhere to get that bull. I'd like to get him over there where I can see him. Put him back there in that pen now.
I've been trying to think of somebody else besides Cookie. You say he's so rough with the animals, but
Well, he's not necessarily rough, but he's not like Marvin.
Yeah. Well, Marvin's out of the question.
Yeah.
Well, Mary won't let him do it.
Yeah.
Well,
Mary won't let him get out of her sight.
Well, I wish Mary would take a trip.
Well, she won't do that, not without him.
No,
he might take a trip,
with.
But he'll be right there with her.
That's right. That's right. What was that I heard about somebody lifting their pea crop?
Her vegetables and meat from her deep freeze.
Yeah, that's what
house.
I mean.
She locks the door every time she goes out. How are they going to get in?
Oh, I don't
She's just missing. She's just used down that much and forgets.
I think that's what happened. They just ate it up and forgot about it.
Well, I hadn't seen her, but that'd be awful. How would you make a mistake about that?
I think it's just a wild notion of hers because she never goes out of that house if she doesn't lock the door. How are they going to get in? The house wasn't ransacked.
If someone's going to go and steal something, they'd get something beside the grocers.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the way people leave, now you see all my neighbors know when I'm here. They know when I'm going to leave before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And they can come up here and go in these kerosene drums and get 5 gallons or whatever they want and go on out. Nobody ever misses. Well, if I was going to circulate, see, I wouldn't want to steal anything big. But I sure would love to have Miss Mary's tea crop. I tell you, it's good. I know. She gave us a sample of it.
Actually, after they've been all shelled and put in the freezer.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we're going to go.
Down to right, around 1,000, end of the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11 November, 73. Channel to right, around 1,000 at the end of the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11 November, 73. Channel to right, around 1,000 at the end of the visit with Sherilyn Berman this Sunday afternoon, 11 November, 73.